We're grateful for God's goodness and his grace, and as we announced Sunday, we're starting a three-week period of consecration and commitment, where, as we do every year, where we deny ourselves something, deny the flesh something, so that we can draw near to God. And so tonight, I thought it would be fitting to speak about prayer, because although it sounds like a common thing and everyone should know how to pray, it doesn't seem that way, that people are quite aware that there are different ways to pray and that there are hindrances to prayer. And we wonder sometimes why, when we pray, our prayers are not heard. So we're going to look at some things tonight, some prayers first of all, and then the things that hinder prayer. Amen. So we're going to start with our focus scripture, which is Philippians 4:6, which says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That's saying that we shouldn't hesitate to pray when we have a problem. Sometimes the last thing we do is pray. We try everything else first before finally, when there doesn't seem to be any other solution, we take it to God. But here the writer, which is Paul, writing to the Philippians church, says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We've got to come before God for everything. Sometimes we think it's only for the big things, but maybe our lives would be a lot less traumatic. We'd have a lot less mistakes if we even took the little things to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times we ask for a lot of things, but we don't take time to give God thanks for the things he has already done. I hope tonight that you can think of some things that God has already done in your life, and maybe a prayer of thanksgiving. We're going to look at that a little bit later. Now, that word prayer in the Greek is prosukomai, and in Matthew, you find that Jesus prayed a lot, and his prayer was usually alone. Most of our prayer should be by ourselves, because it's not to be heard by people. It's not to let them know all about our troubles, but it's to take our troubles directly to God. In Matthew 14:23, we see that Jesus, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Some of my best prayers are when I'm alone, because then you can just say what you want to God. That's what God wants us to do, is to open our mouth and to really have a relationship with him. You know, many times when we pray corporately, that's fine and that's good, and we're going to be doing that this week. But what God really wants us to do is to come to him and have a one-on-one relationship. And that can only really be done when we pray alone, so to speak. It's good to pray as a couple. It's good to pray as a church. But sometimes we need to be able to come to God one-on-one. The Bible says when evening was come, he was there alone. And our prayer time sometimes is just going to be with me and God, you and God. That's what he has called us to do. In Hebrews 9:7, it says, "But into the second went the high priest alone once every year." On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would have to go alone into the most holy place. Every year, not without blood, he came with a covering of blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Jesus, being our high priest, has gone to be our intercessor, our advocate, and he comes before God, the Spirit, on our behalf. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus. Amen. Now, the word in the Greek also means to ask or to desire. That's what pray means. Another Greek word for pray is eroteo. And it means to ask. Jesus did say in John 16:26, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." What he was saying is that we have the right as his children to pray and to ask God for things. We have the right not to just ask for things that we just want, but the things that are according to his will. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit later as far as hindrances. So prayer, it's okay to ask God. As a child, you shouldn't have a fear of asking your parents for things. Now, maybe the answer will be no. Maybe the answer will be wait. Maybe the answer will be yes, you can get it right now. But we shouldn't have a fear of coming to God. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says. And in this time and period of consecration, that's what we want to do. We want to come boldly to a throne of grace. The Bible says, there to obtain mercy. Amen. In Matthew 3:15, Jesus said this, talking to his disciples. Jesus answering said unto them, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. He was talking about John saying, look, you need to be baptizing me. Because people always ask the question, why did Jesus pray? Well, this is the answer. It's to fulfill all righteousness. He did not need to pray, but he did it as an example. That's what he was saying. When he came to be baptized, John the Baptist said to him, wait a minute, I need to be baptized of you. And what did Jesus say? Suffer it, or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus as God did not need to pray, but he did it to demonstrate to us in our humanity and in our flesh that we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to have that relationship with God. We need to have that time when we cry out to him for help. Amen. If you've never been to that place, then I don't know. But I have been at that place where I need to cry out to him for help, where there was no other way. There was no opening. So let's look at some of the things about prayer. People say, well, why should we pray? Doesn't God already know what we need? That's true. That's true. God does know what we need. But as I've taught so many times, in Genesis, he gave man dominion. So for him to answer your prayer, you have to invite him into your life. You have to request that he become your advocate. When you hire a lawyer, you have to give them the power of attorney. They don't just suddenly start working on your behalf. You have to make an effort to say, listen, I choose you. I need you to advocate on my behalf. So prayer, one form of prayer, or type of prayer, is when we invite God to be our advocate and our intercessor. So why should we pray? Well, it's, again, a case of many reasons, but I'm going to give you a few reasons. Why should we pray? When you were in love, why did you talk to your spouse? Because you were in love. There was no reason. You just wanted to talk to them. I can remember, as I've said so many times, calling up my fiancé at the time, and I couldn't tell you what we talked about. It was just hearing her voice. When you're in love with God, there doesn't have to be a specific reason. You just want to tell him, thank you. I love you. I thank you for all that you've done for me. I can see the miracles that you've brought me through. So the first reason we should pray is truly if we have a love of God. If you don't have a love of God, then prayer is going to be hard. It's going to be something you feel you're forced to do. But if you have a relationship with someone, guess what? You want to talk to them, right? You want to call them. You want to have a, even if it's nothing, even if it's just to say thank you. So the first reason why we should be praying, which is a communication, is that we love God. If you don't love God, then you don't want to talk to him. But if there is something in your heart that has a desire for a relationship with God, you will talk with him. Amen? Because we love him. That is to build our relationship. When you're dating someone, the way you get to know them is you get to talk to them. You start to learn their habits. You start to understand their ways. You understand how they operate. How do you do that? By talking to them. By being in their presence. By experiencing their desires. So when we are in a relationship with God, the more we talk to him, the more we get to know him. The Bible says, oh, that I would know him. Paul, in many of his scriptures, talks about that. Jesus in Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not going to barge into your life. You have to invite him in. You have to understand the value of a relationship. Amen. Let's look at this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, we see the story of Mary and Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, the reason why I put this story in here is because of verse 2. Because earlier on, we see that Jesus is invited to this rich Pharisee's house named Simon. And he goes in and the man just kind of treats him offhanded, does not offer him any of the usual courtesies. But then here comes this woman off the street. And she is so broken up and so grateful, she starts to weep at his feet and starts, she cries so much, the Bible says that she's washing his feet and drying it with her hair. And everybody's astonished and astounded. What? Doesn't he know who this woman is? That she's one of the worst, you know, in our day would be hoes. Right? Be a hoe. Doesn't he know who this woman is? How can he being a pastor, allow this to happen? And Jesus turned to Simon and said, listen, Simon, when I came in, you didn't offer me any courtesies. You didn't want, you know why? Simon didn't love him. Jesus explained, this woman has a reason to love me. I tell you what, if you have a relationship with God and he has done things for you, you have a reason to love him. And he went on to explain, she loves greatly because she has been forgiven much. And it turns out that later, this was the same Mary who was related to Martha and Lazarus. The Bible makes that explicit in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The reason why she loved him was because he had done something for her. He had delivered her of the mess that she was in. And Jesus pointed that out because those who have been forgiven much, love much. So the first reason to pray, and prayer is just a conversation, is because we have been forgiven much. I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven much. Amen. And of course, conversation builds relationship. That's what conversation does. The other thing, as I told you, it's because we have to return the dominion. God gave us free will. We make choices. Now, most of us, when we mess up, we look for someone to blame. We never want to take responsibility. Well, it was because of them. That's why that happened. But truly, we have been given dominion, and most of the time, we have choices that we can make. We can either make the situation worse, or we can make the situation better. So God gave us sovereignty. And part of prayer is exactly what Jesus said when he taught them to pray. Thy will be done. When we return sovereignty, when we say, Lord, you know, I'm too stupid. I'm too dumb to know what to choose. Tomorrow I'll make a mess. So Lord, I want you to choose for me. That's part of prayer, saying, Lord, I invite you into my life. You take charge. You direct my way. That's part of prayer, returning sovereignty. That's what empowers God. That's giving him power of authority, power of attorney to act on our behalf. A lot of times why prayers do not work is because although we're asking him for stuff, we're like the person telling the lawyer how to do it, how to do his job. Well, Lord, you should do it this way. No, you didn't go to law school. You didn't get the law degree. What we have to do is turn the thing over to God and say, you're the expert, God. You direct my path. Not my will, but by thy will be done. So part of why we should pray is to acknowledge God and say, you take charge, God. I try every time I pray to say that. Lord, you have dominion today. You direct my path. Because if I make the decisions, I'll do it according to the flesh. And a lot of times it'll be the bad decision. It will not be the good decision. So that's part of why we should pray, is to return the dominion. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. God gave us the ability to make choices. And many times, as I said, we want to blame others for our choices. Sometimes it's true, the situation we are in wasn't our choice. But we still have choices to either make that situation worse or better. Right? If you're in a hole, they say the first thing to do is stop digging. Right? Don't make the hole deeper. So we can make excuses and say all kinds of things. Yes, it's true. We had no choice the family we were born into. We had no choice to pick our parents. But each day we do have choices to make decisions for good or bad, to turn over that choice to God. Jesus in Luke 22:42 gave us an example, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I have said many times, the greatest thing that a human being can say is this verse, not my will, but if you can say that and mean it, if you can, a lot of us can say, yes, Lord, you take my will, but we don't really mean it. This is a hindrance to prayer because really our inner man is fighting what God wants to do. We're saying stuff with our lips, but our heart is not there. We're saying it because people are around us. Yes, Lord, I'll do anything for you. What? Come to church? On a Tuesday night? Oh, I'll do anything for you. I'll be a witness. See what I'm talking about. Nevertheless, not my will. That is part of prayer, is returning dominion. You see, God gave us sovereignty, but what he wants us to do is willingly give it back to him. Part of prayer is returning that sovereignty so that he can act on our behalf. You know, we want a good lawyer because we are guilty. And only a great lawyer is going to get us off. But we have the best. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, which is what? Jesus, amen. The other reasons to pray is because that's how we receive. First of all, words of wisdom, that's how God will tell us. And prayer should be a two-way thing. You know, sometimes when we pray, it's just a monologue. It's just us telling God, reading off a list. And we don't give a chance to pause and listen to what the Spirit wants to say back to us. When you pray, sometimes just stop you talking and let your mind listen for the Spirit. Because that's how we will get direction. That's how we will get counsel. In fact, it's how we get strength, is through prayer. In fact, in Jeremiah 33:3, here's what it says. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. John 16:13 tells us that when we receive the Spirit, he comes to lead us into all truth. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Now, if the Spirit's speaking, what does that mean we should be doing? Listening. So many times when we pray, we just pray. We're not listening. What kind of conversation is that? Where it's one person just talking all the time. I try when I pray to just pause and listen to what God's Spirit is whispering to me. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God can show you things. He can say, don't go there. Don't do this. Just wait. Amen. God will act upon our behalf when we ask him to. Amen. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When he turned to the right hand, and when he turned to the left. So prayer is powerful, but the trouble is most of us are not praying the right way. We pray with just a list. We don't pray in turning over dominion. We pray and ask God to do things that we really don't want him to do because we really want it to go the other way. So to receive from God, we have to pray believing. The Bible says that everyone who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. God is going to test you. He's going to test you to see if you mean this thing. The wise men were seeking for Jesus for 2 years at least. They could have given up after a few weeks and saying, man, this trip is not worth it. We've been traveling all over the place and we keep seeing the star and then it disappears. But they were diligently seeking him. You see those bumper stickers that says, wise men still seek him. Amen. So now let me go into the types of prayer, because many times when we pray, we just think prayer is prayer. But there are types of prayer. And it's been a while since I taught on this. But the first one the Bible speaks about is supplication. What is a supplication? 1 Timothy 2:1 says, exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, if you were to look it up, what that means is a prayer of entreaty or asking or and humbling. In the Old Testament, when someone was supplicating to God, they went down on their face. They were out flat. They were before God just weeping and crying out and humbling themselves. Supplication is when you come before a king and you bow down and you ask for a favor. That is when we supplicate to God. And it says that supplication, that's okay. That's what God is there for, to answer our prayers, because he is the king. Amen. You have a right to come before the king. Amen. But it also says with thanksgiving. Let your supplications, let your asking, let your entreaty not just be asking, but with thanksgiving. Thank God for what he's already done. Amen. Every time I start to tell stories of what he's already done, I'm amazed, even though I've heard it myself, even though it was for me, because when I start to really think about it, it blows my mind. It's beyond real what God has already done. And that's what we have to do, come before God with thanksgiving. Many times our prayers are not answered because we've not been grateful. We took it for granted the last time he saved our lives. We didn't even thank him. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thank you. Jesus said, well, where's the other 9? Don't know. See, when God does something for you, you need to be grateful. Aren't you encouraged when you do something for someone and they come and they tell you thank you? Not that you're always looking for it, but at least that puts you in a spirit to do some more for them. If they're grateful, if they just don't even look like you did anything, that you put yourself out, that doesn't put you in a mind to be helpful. So when we come before God, we should also always in our prayer be thankful. In fact, I've said before that most of our prayer should be thanksgiving. Why? Because God already knows what we need. It's a bad parent who doesn't realize that when their children need new shoes or when the coat needs replacing. If you're a good parent, you already know what your child needs. They shouldn't have to come ask you. Now, you don't mind when they do, and when you give it to them, they say, thank you, Daddy. That makes your heart warm up. What we should do when we come before God is, first of all, start to thank him. Lord, you've done just so much for me. I could pray for at least half an hour just thanking him before I even get to asking him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So, supplication, it says, is a bowing down. In 1 Kings 8:34, it says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees. The king, the great king of all Israel, was praying kneeling down in front of all the people. He humbled himself. There's nothing wrong before humbling ourselves before God. That is supplication. Now, the next type of prayer is intercession. Intercession. Now, intercession cannot be prayed in the flesh. That's what the scripture says. Intercession can only be prayed through the Spirit, because it's not even us praying, it's the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans 8:26 tells us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. So that's why prayer is so important. If you pray in the Spirit, in tongues, because that's when it's helping our weaknesses. What does the scripture say? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, I think I know what I need from God, but I might be wrong. Your child may come to you and say they want this toy, but that's not really they need. Maybe they need shoes. Maybe they need some clothes. That's not the most important thing, you know. And we come to God and we say, I want that car. I want that woman. I want that house. And that might not be the most important thing that God sees that we need. But the only way that that prayer is going to be effective is through the Spirit of intercession. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. So you cannot even pray that intercessory type of prayer unless you are filled with the Spirit. Because it says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the intercessory prayer is something to help our weaknesses. And that's one where we pray by ourselves in the Spirit, in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. We may not understand what we're saying. That doesn't matter, because it's the Spirit praying through us. And we wouldn't understand what we were asking for, but it doesn't matter, because he says, my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prayeth. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said there came a mighty rushing wind and it filled all the house. And there appeared cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And then they all began to speak in all kinds of tongues. Some were unknown tongues, some were other languages they had never been taught. And all the people that were at Jerusalem said, what's this going on? I mean, we're hearing them speak in Greek, in Median, in Persian. And guess what they were saying? The Bible said, the wonderful works of God. See, they didn't even understand what it was they were speaking, but they were speaking the wonderful works of God. So true intercessory prayer is only accomplished when praying in the Spirit, because as the scripture says, it's the Spirit that maketh intercession. Amen. The next type of prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. I've said to you before, when God created Adam and Eve, and they prayed or had a conversation with God, they had nothing to ask for. They were in a perfection, in the most perfect place ever. They didn't need clothes. They had food provided for them. They were clothed with the glory of God. So what could have their prayer been? What could have their conversation with God been? The only thing I think of is they were saying, God, what an awesome place you have made for us. Look at this woman. She is the most beautiful thing out. She was saying, man, this man is the most beautiful man out. And of course, it was only two of them, so that was absolutely true. All they could do, their only conversation with God must have been thank you and glorifying and praising God. Because he had provided every single thing. They were in the most perfect place, created in the most absolute perfection. And although we are not there yet, we need to pray that same kind of prayer of thanksgiving. I tell you, that would be so powerful. You think it would please God if we stopped asking him for stuff and just started thanking him? Do you think that would motivate him? Let me tell you an example. It's not in here, but Solomon was given this choice. God said to him, listen, ask me anything you want. I'm going to give it to you. Anything you want. Now, most of us would say, wow, 10 million. No, no, 100 million. No, no, that's not big enough. A billion. No, that's not big enough. Where would we have stopped? That's our request would have been. Solomon, though, said, Lord, I'm in my father's stead. I've been appointed king, and I'm really pretty stupid. I'm pretty dumb, and look at all this whole nation that I'm supposed to rule. Can you give me wisdom? You see, there's questions we can ask God that please him. The Bible says the thing that Solomon asked for pleased God. Wow. Can you ask God something that pleases him? You ask him for something that pleases him, because that's not what most people would have asked. Because he pleased God, said, listen, Solomon, you didn't ask for all this other stuff. But because what you did ask for pleased me, I'm going to give you all this other stuff in droves. In fact, you're going to end up being the richest man that ever lived. You read the Bible and it says that Solomon got 25 tons of gold shipped to him every year. And he reigned 40 years. Now, gold is something like $1,500 an ounce right now. So you can calculate how much that was. The Bible said that they never ate on anything but gold. Silver was thrown away like we throw away paper plates. Why? Because he asked God the right question. In our prayer, if we ask God the right question, that can please God. Instead of for the things we think, we could ask God, Lord, how could I be your servant today? How can you use me to help someone else today? How can I bless? Don't you think that would please God? See, I'm talking about prayers that are answered and prayers that are not. This is a type of prayer of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. Now that's tough. That's tough. A lot of times the things that happen in our life don't look so good. Can you still give thanks? You can only give thanks if you believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that are the called and that love God. If we love God and trust him, the thing itself might not be good, but God can turn it around to work out for our good. And I have many examples and testimonies of that in my life where the thing itself was not good, but the way God worked it out, boy, it worked out. I told you with the car, didn't I already? I was going to get the car, and it didn't happen when I want, but it was good it didn't happen, because when I did do it, it worked out so much better You see, God can take a negative thing that Satan wants to beat you up with and turn it into a positive thing. Only he can do that. Giving thanks always. Now, wouldn't that please God? Satan says, look what I've done to them now. They're going to be so miserable and down. Did they go to church and start thanking God? Did they raise their hand and start clapping? You know, that's going to give him a black eye. He's going to shake his head and say, I don't know what to do with them people. I kicked them when they were down and they still are worshiping. See, that was Job. That was Job. God said, listen, you did all kinds of things to him. You took away his money. You made him sick. But the Bible says in all these things, Job did not lose his integrity. He still worshiped God. And he said, naked I came, naked I'm going to go. What a testimony, what a prayer, what a declaration, amen. The next type of prayer is just praise and worship. You know, just because God is, I'm going to worship him, I'm going to start singing, I'm going to lift his name up because of who he is. Not because of what he's done, just because of who he is. These are all types of prayer that should be in our basket. Some of us only have one kind of prayer. It's a gimme, 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 fix this, take that. That's our prayer. Where is thanksgiving? Where is praise and worship? Where is intercession? God has called us to all of these things. It's like if you had a meal that was only rice 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We need to mix it up in our prayers and give God thanks. Amen. Matthew 20:20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. She came worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's only two times God is looking for people. It's when true. If you want God to come to you, all you have to do is start worshiping. And boy, that will put the devil in such a bad mood. Because he knows you shouldn't be worried. He feels you should be crying and weeping and stomping and grinding your teeth. But if you just start to worship and start to thank God, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I worship you anyhow. I thank you for blessing me. I thank you that somehow this situation is going to work to my good. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, this next one is a hard one. This is another type of prayer. It's a prayer of submission. It's when you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want, not what I want. Because what I want, I'd be at home. I'd be doing something else, right? If it was just my flesh wants to do all kinds of things. But a powerful prayer is one when you truly submit your flesh and say, God, not my will, thy will be done. That's how we can resist the devil. In James 4:7, you know, people says, I'm going to resist the devil, but they forget the first part. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, then resist the devil. If you don't submit yourself to God, the devil's going to beat you up. You are not going to be able to stand. But once you have submitted to God, you're saying, Lord, you go before me. You go behind me. You go on my left hand. You go on my right hand. In fact, you fight for me. When you're submitted to God, then God can fight on your behalf. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Last one I'm going to go on. There's many more, but agreement, a prayer of agreement. Now this is very powerful. The Bible says if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask for, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now this is the reason we come together as a church to pray. Because that is the prayer of agreement. We put out requests and we say so and so needs prayer. And when we agree and are in unity, the Bible says that if only two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. I used to see my parents do this all the time. I used to see them do this all the time. I'm a little child and they would say, okay, we're going to pray about this one thing. We're going to be in agreement about this one thing. And you know God would do it. There is a powerful prayer of agreement when you get with another believer who has faith and you say, we're going to agree on this. The Bible says that if two of you, and this is Jesus now, this is not even Paul or Peter, this is Jesus, says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. Now, this has got to be two believers, not just anybody, two believers touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means Jesus is right here, even though you can't see him. Right here, there are angels in this room, even though you can't see them. Amen. So these are some types of prayer. Let's look at this corporate prayer. And we see this example of this when Paul and Silas were in prison, facing possible execution. But they weren't fazed. At midnight, I mean, most of us would be there trembling and wondering what's going to happen in the morning. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard. They sang so loud, the rest of the prison heard them singing and worshiping God. And you know what happens? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened. See, your praise and your worship will not only free you, it can free other people around you. Do you see that? The rest of the prisoners in the whole prison were freed too. Not just Paul and Silas. So your worship can affect other people. Your praise can deliver other people. They were in the lowest part of prison, bound and shackled in darkness. It wasn't even as pretty as that picture. There was no light. It was probably rats and all kinds of mess. And yet they were worshiping God. God is going to say to some of us, when we start to complain, says, but I couldn't do it. He's going to show some people, this person was in prison. This person was in prison and they worshiped me. This person was facing execution and they worshiped me. This person was executed. They still worship me. What was it? What was your problem again? What was it you were saying? What was your hindrance? What stopped you? See, we're going to be without excuse. Without excuse. Immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The prison warden thought, oh, I'm going to be killed now. Paul had to say, no, no, just stay. Because of two people worshiping and a corporate prayer of agreement, God saved that prisoner and all of his family, the warden and all of his family. Last one, I keep saying the last one, prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Running out of time. Now, that all sounds good, what I've just said, doesn't it? All those different types of prayer, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving prayer. But you say, well, I've done all this, and my prayer is still not answered. Why is my prayer not answered? Well, let's look now at some things that are hindering our prayers. What is blocking your prayer? What are the things that are not making this happen? Well, the first one straight off is that there are three categories of hindrances. There are three principal categories that are hindering a lot of our prayers, that although there are many promises in the Bible, the promises are conditional. We have to do some things for those things to happen. The Bible says, you have not because you do not. You didn't ask, or you ask amiss. You ask the wrong way. You ask for the wrong thing. And then we start to get mad at God. Well, God, I prayed and this didn't happen. Well, there are hindrances to prayer that you have to understand and you have to be able to deal with to get your prayer answered. The first hindrance is on us. Things that we cause. Sometimes it's things we don't even realize we're doing that is stopping the answer to prayer. Yep, choices that I've made, I might be praying, but there's other things I'm doing that is stopping the prayer from going through. And I don't understand it, and I'm not seeing it, and I'm getting mad. And I'm thinking, well, okay, God, where are you? Anyone wanted to ask God, where are you? Come on, God, I need you now. Why isn't this not happening? I prayed just like it said, I worshiped, and it's still not happening. Well, you better start looking for the hindrances, because there are hindrances to prayer. Then there are hindrances that other people cause in your life. You know, because other people got choices too, right? you've seen people come through red lights, and it's maybe the grace of God you didn't zoom out there as soon as your side turned green. Nowadays in Milwaukee, I don't go when it goes green. I take a couple seconds to look because I've seen too many come through way after the change light. So there are causes, hindrances that are caused by other people and other things. And then finally, there are causes that are directly just satanic, that are just, he's not putting on a mask. He's not playing around and coming through somebody. He's just coming straight at you, full frontal in your face. Amen. So we have to deal with these hindrances and recognize them for our prayers to be effective. Well, the first one, let's look. The things that we cause, well, obviously, the first one is just sin. You praying with sin isn't going to work. No, don't be praying with sin and wondering, well, why, God, aren't you answering me? Psalm 66, verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord, you can cry all you want and praise with your tongue, but if you're still in your heart, have unconfessed sin, that prayer is not going to be heard. Do you understand that? Let me put it in a modern translation. Psalm 66, verse 17 in the New Living Translation. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So the first hindrances to prayer is if you have unconfessed sin. And that's why we should pray all the time for God's forgiveness, because there may be things we're doing we don't even realize. We've been doing them so often and so out of habit that we don't even realize that we're actually displeasing God. There are things that we could be doing that are displeasing God, and our prayers are rendered ineffective. And we wonder why it's not being heard. Well, I've been praying, but what is this other stuff you've been up to? Right? But God did not listen. See, your prayer will not be answered with unconfessed sin. In this case, David said, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. But he shows that if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, David wrote that very great psalm, Psalm 51, after he was confronted with all the terrible things he did. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Yes, we're going to mess up. We're going to sin because we're in this flesh. But we need every day to confess our sin. The Bible says he is faithful to forgive us. We have to come before his throne and plead the blood and ask God for forgiveness. So the second hindrance is because we're asking for the wrong thing. We're asking outside of God's will. Well, I want that woman. Well, she's married. Well, God killed that husband. God's not going to answer that prayer. You see, sometimes we're asking outside of God's will. You know, it's like a child. My dad used to tell this story of this really rich lady who had this servant, this nanny who was keeping her son. And she heard the son in the other room crying and, give me, give me, give me. And the nanny was obviously not letting the little boy get what he wanted. So this rich woman, she couldn't see what's happening. Give it to him now. But I'm paying you. You give it to him now. The next moment she heard the boy even screaming even louder. Go in there and found out it was a bee. You see, sometimes we're asking for stuff that would hurt us. And God in his mercy is not letting us get it. He lust and have not. He kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. He fight and war, yet he have not because he ask not. He ask and receive not because he ask amiss. We have to condition everything we ask God and end it up, but your will be done. It's not wrong to ask, but you need to add to that. But nevertheless, Lord, if that's not your will, don't give it to me. Shut every door I'm not supposed to go through. Don't let me go through some wrong doors, because if it's up to me, I'll make some wrong mistakes. So some of the reasons why we don't get prayers answered, because we're asking for things that God sees would hurt us. And unlike the nanny, he's not paid by anyone. He's not going to give it to us if it's going to hurt us. The other reason sometimes prayers are not answered is we're not merciful. Bible tells us, Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Shall not be heard. Now, don't get merciful with trusting confused. You know, I will give people money, but that don't mean I trust them. Right? I'm being merciful, but that don't mean I'm going to just let them come and take my wallet. I don't give them a card, my whole card, my money. Matthew 18:35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass." We have to be forgiving if we want our prayers answered. That doesn't mean that we put that person back in trust. All it means is we're not hating them. We're not mean at them. We're not, you know, thinking evil thoughts. We're letting God deal with them. We're not holding anything. But that doesn't mean we give them back the keys to the kingdom. It just means we're not having evil thoughts. So one of the hindrances is being forgiving and being merciful. You know, people may have done you things, but don't hold a 20-year grudge, right? Because God may not be, that may be a hindrance to some of your prayers. Amen. Here's an hindrance where it says it explicitly, and this is more for couples. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Didn't know that one was there. That you, if you're in a marriage relationship, you can hinder your prayers by not honoring each other. Did you see that? If you're in a marriage relationship, if you do not honor your spouse, your prayers also will be hindered. The Bible says that explicitly. Wow, didn't know that. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." So hindrances that we cause. Now what about hindrances that other people cause? I'm trying to rush here. Ephesians 2:10, "Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh" where? "In children of disobedience." So now, let me tell you, there can be hindrances to what you want to do and even what God wants you to do caused by other people. Now you say, well, how can that be? Because they have sovereignty and dominion too. Until God sets up his kingdom, Satan's going to be fighting. And one of his most effective ways to fight is not directly, it's through other people. The Bible says, "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." I'm going to prove that to you from Scripture. In Acts 13:50, Paul here is talking. He says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast, threw them out of the city." This was people, so that the word of God could not be preached. See, that's what Satan will do. He will use people sometime. In fact, that's his best weapon, is people. Because we tend to focus on the people and not the spirit that's driving them. So hindrances can come from people. But be aware of that and understand that. And don't get mad. Don't get mad at the person. The Bible says, because what? We wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in heavenly places. What you got to do is just smile and say, I see where this is coming from. I see this trap, Satan. You're not going to get me all mad. You're not going to get me worked up. This is from you. This is from Satan. So there can be hindrances to what even God's will is because he has given man sovereignty. Let me show you again. Directly by Satan, in this case, in Daniel 10:12, and this is where we're praying now. Daniel was praying and fasting for 3 weeks, asking God to give him an answer. For 3 weeks, no answer came. And this was strange to Daniel. Finally, after the 3 weeks, the answer came. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." God hears your prayer. If you're not getting the answer, you need to start looking at some of these hindrances and look through and see if there's some hindrances. If it's you or if it's other people or if it's Satan directly, because there's ways you can deal with that. "The words were heard and I am come for thy words, but..." The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. So the angel was dispatched to give Daniel the answer, but there was a fight going on in the heavenlies. Sometimes your angel is in a fight. Sometimes the answer has been given, but Satan is fighting it because he knows there's blessing, there's deliverance, there's revelation, there's restoration, and he's fighting it. So he sent his minions out to stop the answer coming. There is actually, literally, spiritual warfare going. And the victory depends upon you. Are you going to keep praying? Are you going to keep believing? Are you going to keep trusting? The answer is going to come, even when you don't see it. Here's an example where it was Satan directly. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So God had to send another more powerful angel to get the one with the message through. There is actual physical, spiritual warfare going on around every Christian. Did you know that? Satan wants to kill you. He wants to depress you. He wants to chew you up and spit you out. And when you pray, he tries to hold up every prayer. See, that's why we've been battling some things, but God is going to give deliverance. I looked at the end of the book and we win. But Daniel did not give up. He just kept on praying. 21 days. He just kept on praying. I'll show you again hindrances directly by Satan. Look at this in the New Testament. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Here's Paul. He wanted to come to Rome, but he was hindered. In Thessalonians, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again. But what does it say? Satan hindered us. Yes, Satan will try and hinder God's work. He will try and stop stuff from happening. And he can't do that through people or through holding up the answer directly. But in the end, we win. So you have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as the scripture says, but spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, you are marked. As soon as you become a true Christian, a true lover of Christ, Satan puts a bullseye on your back. And in fact, most of us have been delivered so many times and we don't even realize it. We missed the time when the car almost hit us because God did it and we didn't even realize it. That's why every day we should get up and just start thanking Him. Thanking Him. Worshiping Him. Lifting up His name. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil, I'm just showing you that he can do some things, shall cast some of you into prison. That's what it says in Revelation. That he may be tried. He shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So there are hindrances to our prayers. And if you've been praying and something hasn't happened yet, you just start to look at where it is. Make sure it's not you. That's something we can do. We can make sure it's not us. Then when we can see whether it's somebody else or Satan directly, then we can apply the right word to that situation. Speaking the word. That's what we have to do to certain situations. Matthew 8:8, the centurion who came to Jesus because his child was sick, he said, listen, you don't even have to come. I understand how authority works, and I understand that you're a person of authority. You just have to speak the word. Sometimes, instead of praying to God to do things, you have to understand that he has given us authority. Instead of asking God to do something, we just need to speak the word to it. Instead of saying, Lord, please heal them, you need to say, be healed. Right? That's what you have to say. God has given us authority. It's like if you gave your child $10 and he kept on coming back saying, give me $10. You said, but I've given it to you. Why don't you go use it? So when we pray for other people, we don't need to ask God to do it. We just need to command it. Right? That's what we should be doing. The centurion said, just speak the word. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and that my servant shall be healed. He had faith. Acts 4:29, and now the Lord, behold their threatenings. When the disciples had been brought before the Sanhedrin after Jesus' resurrection, and they'd been preaching about that Jesus had been crucified, they threatened them. They said, listen, we're going to crucify you guys too if you don't shut up, because you're making this man's blood be upon us. And this is what they said. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what we got to do. That's what we've got to do, is speak God's word into these hindrances without fear. Amen. You can stand with me. Almost finish. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." There's some things that are not sins, but are just dragging us down. Some things that we don't need to be messing with or are just taking up all our time and our focus. They're not sins, but they're a weight. You ever tried running a race with a weight? What chance you have of winning if you're the only one dragging 100 pounds? You're not going to win that race. So the Bible tells us to lay aside the things that are dragging us down, because we have a whole great crowd of witnesses that have gone before us, that are there cheering us on. They're saying, "Come on, you can make it. I made it. I was tortured. I was beaten. I was thrown in prison. You can make it." Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily. It's easy to mess up. It's easy to give in to evil thoughts or actions. And let us run this race with patience. Yes, you may have to pray a month or two or three, or like Abraham, 25 years before God gives you the son he promised you. But Abraham never gave up. In the end, he waited till the promise came. So we have to run this race, it says, with patience that is set before us. So I hope you've been blessed tonight and encouraged that we can pray all of these prayers of faith, of agreement, of intercession, right? Of thanksgiving, of praise and worship. And if you're not getting your answers, start looking for the hindrances. Lay aside the weights. Make sure we've confessed all our sins, that we can come before God with a clean conscience and say, "Lord, is it I? I want you to work in my life. I submit myself to you. You fight for me." And I am absolutely sure, as night follows day, as God's word cannot fail, that he's going to do something. All I can tell you, he's never failed me. Never, ever, ever failed me. No matter how bad it got, how it looked impossible, my God never fails. Amen. We cannot lose. If I was to die, I still win. That's what Paul said. All it means, I go to heaven immediately. I don't have to deal with this stuff anymore. Amen. So we're going to close this Bible study, and let us meditate upon this word in our prayer life this week and for the next 3 weeks, that we will put God first, and we will start just praying prayers of thanksgiving, of worship, of submission, of faith. Hallelujah. Because I believe God will work in our lives and do miracles and change direction. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord God, let this word find good soil. Move in our lives. Build faith, oh God. Help us to trust you, to lean not to our own understanding, to be patiently running this race, Lord, that you have set before us, Lord, and to listen to your voice that will tell us this is the way. Walk in it. Lord, we lift up our hands in worship, and we thank you tonight for your goodness and your love. Hallelujah. We believe you, Lord God, that you have given us authority and power. Lord, help us to use it, Lord God, to lay aside every hindrance that is in our lives, Lord God, that you can use us to the fullest. We thank you tonight. We praise you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. If you could give God a praise offering tonight.